Thank you very much. Let us pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Well, as on every Sunday, we said just now the Apostles' Creed, and we ended with the words, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And it seems clear that if we believe in the life everlasting, we need to be very sure of the forgiveness of our sins. We can say of forgiveness that it is a foundation stone of Christianity, and that's what I want us to think about now. After the Lord Jesus had given the disciples the Lord's Prayer, just the one part of it he reinforced was the petition, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And he added, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that surely is a very solemn warning, and calls upon every forgiven person to be a forgiver himself. The need for everyone to seek forgiveness of his sins is because we are all sinners in God's eyes. And that's what Psalm 14 tells us. Psalm 14 and verses 2 and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And those words are echoed when Paul was writing to the Romans in chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one of the important things about those two, like many, many, many others, is once again we see that the Old and the New Testament speak with one voice. We talk about the Bible, singular, not the Bibles, the Old and the New. I think many people find it very hard to accept that sin is the family disease of the whole of mankind, and that by our very nature we are all stained by sin. And the inspired words of the Apostle John ring true every time. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the first thing to understand about forgiveness is that every single person in the world needs it. It's a mighty debt and must be paid. And our Lord's parable showed that a mighty, mighty debt that Lord forgave his servant, and the servant wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. The next thing I think to consider is how to go about receiving forgiveness. No church minister or priest can forgive a man's sin. In the absolution in the prayer book, which the minister reads after our confessions, he doesn't forgive himself. I haven't got the words ready to hand, but it's that God calls upon the minister to tell the people of God's forgiveness. It isn't the minister or indeed the priest that forgives sins. And what's more, no work of our own can gain and make payment of sin and gain entrance into heaven. No good deeds, no giving of money to church or charity, nothing like these can pay for forgiveness. But it's important to remember, that's not to say we should not do those things, but in my experience, they are the result of forgiveness. They are the result, they are a continual thank offering to God who has been merciful to us. The Apostle Paul, of course, puts his finger on it when he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." Just imagine a man boasting he's been forgiven. I gave so much, I did so much, and so on and so forth. And also we can't trust for forgiveness by, as we so often say, turning over a new leaf and trying to lead a better life. We say, I must give up a little bit of that, and I must ease up on the other, and I must have a think about something else. That turning over a new leaf, it's just in the hope that God will have mercy. To do that is to rely on our own strength, whereas forgiveness is given by God. And so the question remains, how do we go about obtaining forgiveness? Well, I've given some negatives, some dead-end roads, but now let me point to the only road with a single positive. It is simply to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and mine. It's to cast one's soul with all its load of sin onto Christ. To cease completely from relying on any seemingly good thing that we do, and put our trust in the righteousness of Jesus. His sacrifice is to be the ground on which our hope rests. And that ground is made rock firm by Jesus' words, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Never turn you down, never drive you away, never put you on the rubbish heap for burning. I will in no wise cast out. And that's a wonderful promise, it's an assurance, and indeed what a rock. It is because of Christ's sacrifice of himself for our sins that we call him Saviour. Then what has he saved us from? He saved us from the inevitable consequence of unforgiven sin. There are only two roads in this life, the broad way and the narrow. That's not an invention of mine. It is often said these days of multi-faith that there are many roads leading to God. But the Lord Jesus said quite differently, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in Matthew chapter 7, we'll look at that. In Matthew chapter 7, he said, verses 13 and 14 there, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it." It seems to me that there are two obstacles in particular that might prevent a man from seeking forgiveness. A person might reflect on his life and come to the conclusion that his sins are so many and so utterly dreadful that he could not imagine that God would forgive them. Well, such an obstacle is overcome by the word of God given through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Those words, when Isaiah spoke to them, were addressed to the whole nation. But they applied to every individual in that nation too. And also they apply to each one of us today, nearly 3,000 years later. And again, we see that God's word is timeless and does not wear out. "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever." And the second obstacle to someone might prevent him from seeking forgiveness is at the opposite end of the scale. A person might be far, far too smug about what he thinks is his own goodness to see his need for forgiveness. And he might well compare his life with other people's and see their glaring faults and think himself a pretty good living man. "I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so down the road with his rather dodgy ways." And so on. But such a person is deceiving himself. Our standard of comparison should be by God's standards and not by people's, other people's. Our Lord's parable about the Pharisee and the publican of course was a tax gatherer, more or less an extortioner too, praying at the temple and warning against having a self-satisfied opinion of ourselves. That's in Luke 18. Luke 18 verse 9. "And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. A forgiven person shows his forgiveness in part by being humble. He is kept lowly in soul by remembering that he has forgiveness by grace. He's done nothing to earn it. The debt of sin, which we all owe, is completely, utterly beyond our ability to pay. And a forgiven person also shows it by being forgiving himself. He remembers that he was forgiven by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So if he has been forgiven 10,000 talents, shouldn't he forgive just a few pence himself? Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee, said his Lord to that servant? And finally, let me just say three things about forgiveness. First, it's offered. Christ invites a sinner to come to him. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And again, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. An unforgiven person's soul is bearing a very heavy burden of sin. And secondly, forgiveness is now. It's not something far away, only to be had after many, many years. It is a present comfort. It's the love of Christ, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. A love that strengthens us. And thirdly, forgiveness is everlasting. That means a forgiven person can look forward without fear. Now, that's not to say that there won't be future difficulties. Everybody knows there'll be those, all right, and many trials. It doesn't say that those difficulties and trials are removed and the path will be all smooth and nice. That is not promised. Rather, it is that our souls are at peace with God, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, which shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we pray that peace may be ours. Amen.